fire's gone out. I played it safe for so long. The passion left. Turns out safe is just another word for regret. So I step to the edge and I take a deep breath. We're all down to live, but we're all scared to death. And this is the part where my head tells my heart you should turn back around, but there's no turning back now. I'm going all in, head first to the deep.
Good morning. It is a very special day with many emphasis. With our schedule, we decided from Easter to Pentecost, we would do the all-in series. The small groups actually went about 4 weeks, but we decided to extend the preaching series to about 6 weeks. So we added a week today reflecting on this all-in journey. It also brings us to Pentecost Sunday, which is, in my estimation, is the third biggest day in the church. Christmas Eve obviously would be huge with the birth of Jesus. Easter and Holy Week with the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And of course, the birth of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit today. So it's a significant day. You see all the red in the room, and the music's been great, and we've heard the wonderful message already of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And besides that, it's Mary Jo's birthday. I mean, we're just packing a lot into this day, aren't we? This scripture is a powerful word. I'm not sure that some of you may have awakened early yesterday to see the royal wedding, did you? Yeah. And I knew they were going to show highlights all day. But it was quite a spectacular event. And what we're reading about in the scripture today is the opposite kind of event. It's not an event of grace and eloquence, but it's the opposite. It's an event where a woman, a known sinner, a prostitute, came to be at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus accepted her. Jesus loved her. Jesus ministered to her. And this text teaches us so much about where the gospel meets human need. With all of that in mind, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, we thank you for the birth of the church, for the coming of your Holy Spirit. We recognize here at 8 o'clock in Shalimar, Florida, at Shalimar United Methodist Church, that we're a part of that plan that you have for the church. And we can read about our roots that go all the way back to Peter's sermon of repentance. And 3,000 people were saved on that day. And we also, we remember that we need the presence of Jesus in our life. And Jesus said he would not leave us alone, but he would send his Holy Spirit. And so today, we open ourselves because we know you pour out your Holy Spirit today as you did 2,000 years ago for all those who open themselves. So today, we pray that we might hear what you're saying to us and that we might be open to the receiving of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What is the end of a series? And many of you have read the book All In by Mark Batterson. Perhaps some of you are still reading it. Some of you may be intrigued to read it as time goes on. And there have been some observations in this book I wanted to point us to. There's many quotes that I think give us a sense of what this all in means. And as we began this series, we maybe didn't know what it meant to be all in. But if we can identify that area of our life where God is stirring our hearts and we can act, then we'll start moving to being all in. And all in's a daily decision. We can be all in today, and tomorrow we have to decide again. We're going to be all in. It's a commitment. But here's some of the ones that I gleaned from the book that I wanted to share before we leave it. Is that comment that I just can't get it out of my head is, when we're not all in, we're in between. And religious people, church people, we just put ourselves in that land in between. And we're too Christian to enjoy sin, but we're too sinful to enjoy Jesus. And so the call is to move beyond being too sinful to enjoy Jesus and too Christian to enjoy sin. The call is to be all in. I love the quote, "There is no testimony without a test." We heard Mary Alice's testimony last week, and we were reminded that God places tests, and there are difficult times in our life, and God helps us through those times. It's not like church people are immune from those kind of issues. In fact, I'd say church people no different than any people. No issues, no challenges. It's just where we choose to find our inspiration and hope. That's the difference. And so we learn that there's a testimony that comes out of our test. We only need 20 seconds of insane courage. That's one that could potentially speak to somebody today. To change your life, to turn your life around, it's one single act and one span of about 20 seconds. And think about your life decisions, how many of them were made in a period of about 20 seconds. Maybe the years leading up to those 20 seconds were a part of that, but you made a decisive action that took about 20 seconds and your life has been different. And that's a possibility today. We just need courage to make the decisions we need to make. Will we, as we look to the future, will we make our decisions based on fear? Or will we make our decisions based on faith? That is a great question. I think if you just read that and nothing else in the book, it'd be worth it. There's so much in our future that could scare the daylights out of us. But there's so much about our future that God says is secure, and we can be confident in God's future. So which do we choose? Do we choose to be crippled by our fears, or do we choose to move into the future in faith, trusting God? And then toward the end of his book, Batterson, if we were still looking, what does it mean to be all in? I think this quote sums it up a bit. If we have everything in this world, minus Jesus, we have nothing. And when our time comes to leave this earth, we'll know that's true. If we have everything, but we do not have Jesus, we'll have nothing. But yet, if we have Jesus plus nothing, we have everything. So Jesus is all we need. That's the power in this message, that Jesus is all we need. So this woman that came to Jesus, she had a need. She had a deep spiritual need. And she was a prostitute. Her reputation preceded her. And it was very socially awkward. When this woman, as Mark Batterson said, she crashed the party. The Pharisees were having a party, and Mark Batterson said, that sounds like an oxymoron. Do Pharisees ever have parties? Can they have enough fun to have parties? But here is this woman, and she comes to Jesus. And she crosses several barriers. One, women do not speak to men. One, sinners do not speak to rabbis. There's many barriers she's crossing. But yet, the spiritual need is so great in her life, she's willing to cross that. She's willing to go through the embarrassment. She's willing to go through humiliation, if that's what it requires. And she moves well beyond the Pharisees' comfort zone, and she is at the feet of Jesus. She is to the side of Jesus, and she starts crying tears and starts washing Jesus' feet with her hair. I don't know of another passage in the scripture that's more intimate than this. And Jesus, in dealing with this socially awkward situation, ministers to this woman. And Jesus identifies a great need in this story. He identifies the woman's need of forgiveness. And as we seek to be all in with Jesus, this is a basic human need that we all have. There are two types of sinners, those that know it and those that don't know it. And the ones that don't know it are a lot harder to come to bow at the feet of Jesus than those that know it. And this woman knew it. And she was not defending her life. She let all her defenses down at the feet of Jesus. And she wept. And with the tears, she wiped them off the feet of Jesus in just a beautiful moment. She dealt with this human need of forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the greatest needs of we all have. If there's issues in our life that we do not feel forgiven by God, that's where we need to start today. That's the most important need in our life, is to make it right with God. And just like he received this woman whose sin was great, he will receive us and he'll forgive us. This woman was known as a sinner, and Jesus told a parable to Simon. Simon, the host of this home, he did not wash Jesus' feet upon his entering, which was the custom of the day, that the host would wash the feet of his guest. But he had omitted this important act, and this woman had taken care of this act. And then he shared that there were two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and another owed 50 denarii. And they were not able to pay back what they had borrowed. And their debt was forgiven of both. And Jesus posed the question, which do you think? Who do you think would have the greatest love toward this lender? And Simon said, I suppose the one who had received the greatest debt and had it forgiven would love more. As if Jesus is saying, the greater the sin, the greater the forgiveness, the greater the love. It's powerful. It's a powerful image. Forgiveness is such an important need in our life. It can cause health issues. It can cause stress issues, it can cause anger issues, it can cause all kinds of things. But the Bible speaks to us about this issue of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. David in Psalms 51, he laid out his own transgressions. He said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit so to sustain me." This issue of forgiveness. Perhaps that is what the Lord is stirring in your heart today, that more than anything else today, you need to know the forgiveness of Christ like this woman did at his feet. And that forgiveness is within reach of you. Jesus also teaches that forgiveness is a way of life, that once we receive forgiveness, we're to extend that forgiveness to others. And so perhaps we're thinking about people we need to forgive. Someone in our life, we've held a grudge. Someone in our life, we've allowed our bitterness to get the best of us. Jesus offers us this opportunity to forgive, to be forgiven, and to be forgiving, just like this woman at his feet. This woman at his feet, she was all in also because she needed this grace. She did not deserve this moment with Jesus, but neither did the Pharisees deserve this moment. This moment with Jesus, no one was deserving. But yet this woman came to Jesus and she received Jesus' grace. She was a woman of a reputation. She was a sinner, a great sinner. But all the more, Jesus extended her his grace. This grace that is described by the scripture in the writings of Paul, that it is by grace that we are saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is a gift. There is nothing we can do to earn this salvation of God. It is a gift. It is a gift to God. And this grace is a gift, and it's offered to all of us. None of us are deserving. We cannot earn it. We cannot learn it. It's a gift. It's a gift to be received. And it's good news. It's good news for those who are willing to bow at the feet of Jesus and be all in and say, "I need your grace. I need this gift. I'm not able to save myself. I'm not able to do what I set out to do, but I need your grace to help me. I need your grace to be sufficient for my every need, whatever that need is today." A third dimension of being all in for this woman at the feet of Jesus is that she was all in to receive Christ's love for her. She was all in to receive Christ's love for her. Love is the most powerful force in the world today. We forget that. Other school shootings that have left children dead discourage, they diminish our faith in where we're heading. But make no mistake about it, this love of Jesus is greater than the forces of darkness. This love of Jesus is greater than the evil that pervades our world. This love of Jesus is still the most powerful force on the face of the earth. Barriers come down. Obstacles are removed. Things that could have never thought possible begin to happen because of this love that does amazing things. This was no ordinary story when Jesus received this woman at his feet and she wept tears on his feet. Tony Campolo tells a story. Tony Campolo can tell some wonderful stories. He is sometimes controversial. I don't always agree with him, but I love his stories because they speak of the essence of the kingdom of God. And there's a story Tony Campolo tells of when he was in Hawaii. It was his first day there, and he's from the Philadelphia area, and the time zone was like 6 hours difference. So he awakened at 2 o'clock in the morning, Hawaii time, and he went to a Waffle House to eat breakfast. And there at 2 o'clock in the morning, who was there but prostitutes having probably dinner. And Tony Campolo observed all of this for a while. And one of the prostitutes was real angry. And she remarked going out the door that tomorrow was her birthday, but no one had ever wished her a birthday party or really done anything for her birthday. And she was angry about another birthday with no one who cared. Tony Campolo heard this. And after this group of women left, he asked the manager, "Does she come here every night?" "Yes." "Will she be here tomorrow night?" "Yes." "What do you think about having a birthday party?" So Tony Campolo began planning for the next night a birthday party for this prostitute who had never had a birthday party. So the next evening, there were posters, there was a cake, and there were sentiments of a happy birthday. This woman was overwhelmed with tears. She was so overwhelmed, she took the cake and she ran to her mother's house and showed it to her and said, "Someone remembered my birthday." That may sound like a bizarre story, but it's similar to the story we read about in the scriptures today. It's a story about love crossing a lot of barriers. It's a story about love getting us out of our comfort zone. It's a story about getting to the edge of the kingdom of God and reaching out to those we consider to be sinners, but all the while we know that we're sinners too. It's about sharing the love of Jesus to those who are on the edge. Human beings, there's not a lot of difference in us. We all have this need to be forgiven. We all have this need to know this grace. We have this need to have this love to us and through us. Perhaps today, this is what you need most of all, is just the love of Jesus Christ, to know your love, to know you're a child of God, to know that your name is called and that you matter. It is the day of the Holy Spirit. the day of Pentecost, it's a day for us to celebrate that we do not have to do this on our own, but we have help. Jesus said, I'll give to you my helper, the Holy Spirit. And so as we seek to be forgiven, as we seek to be forgiving, as we seek to live with the gift of grace, and as we seek to live in this love and receive this love, we have the help of the Holy Spirit to help us. We're not alone. In the day of Pentecost, one of the amazing things that happened was that all of these people of all these different languages spoke in their native tongue, but they understood each other. There was amazing clarity. In what could have been amazing confusion, it was clear. And there was unity. And we live in a time, there's never been a time where the ability to communicate with one another has been greater, but we do it so poorly. We tend to put up walls, we tend to alienate, we tend to be divided, and our communication tends to perpetuate this. But Lord, send your Holy Spirit today. Send your Holy Spirit today to bring clarity to our many voices. Lord, send your Holy Spirit power again today to not only bring clarity in the voices, that we might understand one another, forgive one another, offer grace to one another, love one another. Send us your Holy Spirit that we might have unity together. Not just this superficial unity, but that unity that goes deeper, this koinonia, this fellowship that we know that we belong and that we love one another. Send us this power today, Lord. And we are a part of the church, and we have an opportunity to be all in with the church. And when we join this church, when we become a part of this church, we're not just joining something that's here today and gone tomorrow. We're participating in something at Shalimar United Methodist Church that began in 1951, but we know when we say the Apostles' Creed, it goes further back than that. We're joining in with the ages. In 1784, the people that call Methodists, we're joining in with them, but it doesn't stop there. We're joining in with those people that when Martin Luther broke from Catholicism with the Protestant Reformation, we're joining in there, but it doesn't stop there. It goes all the way back to Pentecost, to that day when Peter preached that sermon about repentance, and 3,000 people were cut to the heart and were saved. We're joining in with Pentecost. We're joining in with the Holy Spirit. And so when we ask you to be all in with the church, we're asking you to be all in with Jesus. We're asking you to come to that moment in your life where you will make one, you'll have one decision can change your life. One decision to follow Jesus. Perhaps one defining moment, something tangible you can do today to make that decision real. And one action, one dramatic action this week that we'll do because God's stirring in our heart to do it. Send your Holy Spirit on us, O Lord. Let us be the people that love, that forgive, that show grace. Let us be your people. Let us be your church today. Amen.